Well, good morning. Thank you, worship team, musicians, and vocalists. And I need to apologize. Morgan was supposed to lead in prayer, and I just took his thunder. And I'm sorry, Morgan. Sometimes you get up here and you go, "I should pray now," and I just do it. But Morgan probably would have done a better job than me. I don't know. He was prepared, though. We talked about that in Sunday school, about how people were encouraged and blessed by those men who have been up here leading in prayer, and we do thank you for that. So, we are in a second week. We started last week in our new series about living like who you are, a verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 Corinthians. And if you're not there, I invite you to turn there in your copy of God's Word, whether electronic or paper. If you don't happen to have one, in a chair in front of you, there should be a brown covered book that is a Bible. You're welcome to grab that and be on page 725, because you're not here to hear what I have to say. You're here to hear what God has to say, and His Word is way more important than what I'm going to say. As we started last week, we dealt with just verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 1, and in doing so, we answered some key questions based around the ultimate question: who are you? Who are you? Not who do you think you are, who do you feel like you are, who does your friend say you are, who does your family say you are, who does culture and society or the media tell you who you are, but who are you according to God? Who are you according to God and His Word? And in asking that question, we came up with several statements or realities about who we are according to God and His Word. The first one is the most depressing and the most soul-searching question is the fact that you are so sinful that you have already earned hell this morning. That's the reality. All of us have done it. Already this morning, we'll do it this afternoon, we'll do it tonight, we'll do it tomorrow morning. But then it gets better. You are who Jesus died shamefully on the cross for. He died there shamefully. In your place, you are someone who God called to be a disciple, a Christian, a follower of His, to be part of His family, not as an accident, not as an afterthought, but because He loves you and He wants you to be in relationship. He wants you to be part of His family. Not only did God know exactly who you are and still calls you anyway, He did it intentionally. And then He intentionally gave you gifts, gave you abilities, talents, and He intentionally didn't give you others. None of it was by mistake. None of it was by accident. It was all part of God's plan and why He chose you. And you are called to be set apart to and for God. You are called to be part of and committed to God's church, not just in a general fuzzy sense, but God's church here in Newfield, because that's where He has placed you right at this moment. You are called to be growing in holiness. Theologically, this is called progressive sanctification. That means I know what God's Word says. I regularly hear and read it, and then I apply it to my life. Not just know it, not just hear it, but that last step is the hardest. I apply it to my life. There's always going to be a gap between what you know and what you are applying. There's always going to be a gap in sanctification, but it should be decreasing day by day, year by year. You shouldn't be the same level of maturity, the same level of sanctification as you were in 2019, in 2018, and so on. And you are called not just to be part of God's family or God's family here in Newfield. You are connected and called to be part of God's family that is all over the world. You are connected to every other believer in Jesus Christ because of what God has called you and who you are. And lastly, we looked at about the fact that you are called to glorify God in your body and your spirit because you are called, because they belong to Him. So I didn't quiz you on the verse this week. So if you have your card, if not, it's going to be on the screen. This is the verses we're learning for this year. So we're going to read them together twice. And next week, there's going to be less words on the screen, okay? That's how it works. If you're new here, we start out with a full screen and then we start leaving out words until there's nothing on there. So that you can say, I've memorized at least one verse, in this case, about a verse and a half, this year. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. For you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All right, we're going to try that again. Ready? But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. For you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that's the focus. That's why we're saying we're going to live like who we are, because this is who we are. This, if we claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, this is who we are. So, are you going to choose to live like who you are? That's the question. How are you doing? Are you making progress in living like who you are? So that catches you up if you couldn't make it last week or you weren't able to be with us. Now, so I usually do introductions, I have pictures and all that, but we're going to do audience participation introduction to the sermon this morning, all right? So, first question, and I need some people to be willing to respond loudly so we can hear you. What are some things you are not thankful for, or it is at least difficult for you to be thankful for? And it gets really quiet. You're all thankful, which is going to really kill my message, but did you say death, Mary? Death, okay. Sickness? Abortion, okay. Did you say sadness, Lois? Man, you guys are really spiritual. That's not what I thought of, but that's okay. This is great.
Mosquitoes.
What's that?
Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes. Yeah, why did Noah bring the mosquitoes on the ark, right?
Horse flies.
All right, now you're getting a little more serious.
Vegetables.
Oh. That was one of the Smith girls, I believe, that said vegetables. So here's what I thought of. Politics, taxes, speed limits. That's where I went when I asked myself this question. All right, so there's a second part of this introduction. Listen carefully. What are some things about people, about people you are not thankful for? Or it's very difficult for you to be thankful about people. I don't want people's names. That's not what we're talking about. About people.
B.O.
Oh, man. But I should know better than to do this. All right. Those that don't have great personal hygiene, let's be polite about it. What are the things maybe about people that you struggle to be thankful for?
Self-righteousness.
Attitude. Someone said not agreeing with me. I'm not going to name names. A couple more things about people you may not be so thankful for.
Strong-willed.
Annoying. Oh, there's somebody honest. Last chance, one more. I have no, there's like six people.
When you say in Sunday school that you're not supposed to say that word,
foolish. But it starts with an S, yeah. It's not a polite word. It's not a bad word, but it's just not a polite word. As we noted last week, that living like who you are impacts every area of life. And how we view or treat others is one of those things, those areas of life that we're going to talk about one aspect of dealing with people and how we treat them and how we think about them this morning. And how living like who you are should change what our natural bent is with those people that maybe annoy us a little bit or we think are foolish in some of the choices or life decisions they made or just foolish in the things they do and say. If you're not there already, please be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 4. We're going to read our text this morning, which is verses 4 through 9. Paul has introduced the letter, and then he begins, "I thank my God concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you are enriched in everything by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So from these verses, we are going to look at this morning five questions about being thankful for others. Five questions about being thankful, not just thankful, but thankful for others. Let's pray and ask God for his help as we do that. Father, we thank you for this text. We thank you for the fact that we've been challenged that claiming to be a disciple, a son, a daughter of yours, should impact each area of our life. And this is one where it is so easy to follow our natural tendency and view others not as we should, but certainly not be thankful for them. Lord, may we hear from you individually and as a whole body of believers in Newfield this morning. May we be confronted with where we need to grow, and may we not only we recognize the confrontation or the conviction, but may we act on it. May we respond and grow and begin to change the way we are approaching others, that we may increase in thankfulness for them. Lord, use me this morning. I ask that those here listening or listening later online would hear from you through me, that I would be a useful tool and instrument in your hands, and that you would be pleased with not simply what I say or what people hear, but how we respond, that we respond in a way that we are going to make another step in living like who we are, because we recognize we are yours and we love you and we want to honor you and glorify you because of everything we saw last week that you have done for us. We thank you for this. We thank you for the privilege it is to openly and freely have this meeting and talk about the truths from your word. We know that many around the world are meeting in secret and do not have this privilege that you have given to us. We ask these things, all these things, in your son's name. Amen. Five questions about being thankful for others. So the first question is, who should I be thankful to? Who should I be thankful to? Verse 4, I thank my God. Why? If I'm supposed to be thanking God, why should I thank God? Why should I be thankful to God? Well, there's a number of ways we could answer this. One of the ones comes from Revelation chapter 4. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. This is the most basic reason we should ever give thanks to God. No one and nothing exists if he hadn't chosen to create it. That includes you and that includes me. And this is a conversation that is being overheard by John in heaven about what is said in front of God's throne. And you might be saying, I wonder if Pastor's going to slip in some Hawaii pictures. I was not planning to until I got to this point in the message, and I'm like, okay, this fits. So you don't know my brother, but he's a lot like me. He's slightly smart aleck, sarcastic. But we would go and travel around this beautiful thing, and he'd say, his first comment would often be, yeah, this just all happened. So I had to slip some pictures in, right? Right? Yeah, you know you want to see pictures of Hawaii. As you're looking at the north shore of Hawaii, with the waves are 20 and 25 feet high and the riptide is so strong that they canceled a professional surfing competition while we were there. It just happened. You may not be able to see, but those little brown things are turtles swimming just up the beach from where they canceled the surfing competition. Here's this massive, powerful wave, and God has created something that not only lives but thrives in that environment. It just happened. Or the myriad of different types of flowers and flowering plants all over the place that just happened. They just happened. Trees with roots that look like this that just happened. An environment with sun and sky and waves and atmosphere and clouds that bend light and change light so that it creates an image like this that just happened. Or simply looking across the bay and saying, that just happened. That's not the point. That's not how it got there. God did it. God created all of it. And he is so vastly more creative and amazing in things that he does that we could ever think of. It didn't just happen. God is the source. Paul says a similar thing in Colossians chapter 1. He says, "For by him, by God, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." There are things we don't even know God created. All things were created through him and for him. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes farther than John did in Revelation. He says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Not only did God create everything, he holds it together. Meaning that if he decided, "I'm done holding everything together," creation ceases to exist. We cease to exist. It explodes in my mind. I don't know, maybe it just disappears. But there's more to it than that. Daniel, talking to a heathen king who is mocking God, said, the God you are mocking, who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways. So not only did he create everything we see and hold it together, he holds your breath in his hands. If he decided today is the day you are going to spend eternity with him or without him, it's going to happen. God, without God, no one and nothing would exist, and we would not be alive. God deserves our thanks simply for who he is, what he's done, and what he's doing. God deserves our thanks for who he is, what he's done, and what he's doing. So if we're going to give thanks to God, what's your level of thankfulness to him for creating everything, for holding it all together, for giving you life and breath this morning, that you got out of bed and you are here? What's your level of thankfulness, and how often do you express that to him? Who should I be thankful to? God. Second question, who should I be thankful for? Well, you're going to say God, yes. And we could easily say that, and that is a correct answer. But Paul goes in a different direction here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, "I thank my God always concerning you." You. The you is not singular. It is plural. So if you're anytime in the South, there's you, there's y'all, and there's all y'all. If you lived in where we did in central Pennsylvania, they don't do y'all or all y'all. They do yous and youins. I kid you not. Yous guys, youins. That means all of you. So Paul's saying you are supposed to be, "I am thankful for everyone in the Corinthian church who's going to hear this letter or read this letter." Wait a second, Pastor Brian. You mean Paul, as God's apostle, is telling me by his example, I should give thanks to God for everyone in the church, all of them? Doesn't he know what they're like? They say the wrong things. They don't say the right things. They do the wrong things. They don't do the right things. They cause problems. They're frustrating. This is not like Pastor Brian has an issue this morning. This is what the text says, okay? They're frustrating. They cause problems. They nag. They only care about certain things. They only care about what they're interested in. They're not grateful. And they complain. No. Paul knows. Yes, Paul knows exactly what those people are like, the other people in the church. They're just like you and they're just like me. Paul knows exactly what those other people are like. They're just like you and they're just like me. And if we're honest, most of us think this way about someone once in a while, probably more than that, and probably more than one person. And if we were to say to God, and complain to God and say all these things, and he chose to bless us with an audible answer like he did with some other people in the Bible, what do you think he would say? So here I have some responses that God might give you when you say, "But why should I be thankful for?" And you fill in a blank of a person or a group of people. Genesis chapter 1. "So I created man in my own image. In the image of me, I created him. Male and female, I created them." I know I changed the pronoun, but we're talking about God speaking to us directly. "You can give thanks to God for anyone because they are created in his image." If you have no other reason, you should start there. Romans chapter 5. But I demonstrated my own love toward you, or toward them, in that while they were still sinners, I, Christ, died for them. You can give thanks to God for anyone because he loves them. He didn't just say he loves them. He loves them enough that he sent his son, God the Son, to die for them in their place. Not while they, after they earned it, not when they were believers, but while they were sinners. But Paul says the you, the all y'all, the you-ins is more specific because he's talking about believers. We could apply the first couple to anybody in general. 1 Peter chapter 1, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of my Son, you can give thanks to God for every believer because Jesus Christ paid a price for them, an infinite price for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in my Son, Jesus Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You can give thanks to God because he has made every believer in our church new. What is your level of thankfulness to God for people in general? What's your level of thankfulness to God for believers here at People's Baptist Church in Newfield? All of them. Every one of them. Even the guy standing up here yelling at you every Sunday morning. How often do you thank God for other believers in this church? Do you know it is impossible to pray for someone consistently and not become more thankful for them? It's impossible to pray for someone consistently and not become more thankful for them. And this is the reason. R.C. Sproul says the most important thing prayer, he used the word it because he was in context, the most important thing prayer changes is us. I'm not saying it doesn't change anything else, but it changes us. It changes our mindset, it changes our attitude, and it changes our actions because we are talking to and hearing from God. Who should I be thankful to? God. Who should I be thankful for? Other believers. All of them. Third question, when should I be thankful? Back to verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you. Always. Always. So this is like that pray without ceasing thing that Paul wrote in another letter, you know, which is impossible, Pastor Brian, unless you're like a pastor or a missionary. You know, you can't do it. It's impossible. It's similar, but neither one's impossible. Giving thanks always and praying without ceasing is not impossible. Anthony Thistleson wrote this in his comment about this verse in the word always. Always means at every opportunity as a regular habit. When Paul says, I give thanks, the verb is a present tense. It means it's an ongoing activity. Literally, Paul says, I am giving thanks always, or I am always giving thanks. Always. When God brings that person or people to your mind, we should not only pray for their needs, the needs we know about, or pray for them in general, but we should give thanks for them, at minimum, for the reasons we have looked at. And there are more ones, more than you can add from the rest of Scripture. What's your level of always? What's your level of always? Of always giving thanks. Always giving thanks to God for other believers at People's Baptist Church. Always giving thanks for all the other believers. If you're honest, would a better word be for you sometimes? Occasionally? Never? Or if you're really honest, would you be willing to say, well, Pastor Brian, to be honest, it depends on the person and it depends on the day. That's not what the Scripture says. This is an area we all need to grow in. What's your level of always giving thanks for other believers? Who should I be thankful to? God. Who should I be thankful for? Other believers. All of them. When should I be thankful for them? Always. Question number 4. Why? Why should I be thankful? I'm going to read verses 4 through 6 is where the answer for this question is going to come from. I give thanks to my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Five more uses of the word you. You want to guess what it means? All y'all. All y'all. Paul's expressing his thankfulness for all of those in the church. Every one of them. We're being challenged to do the same here in Newfield. Not to forget the whys, the reasons, are not just for a big person. They're for you. You can apply them. You can give thanks to God for all these reasons for yourself and then give thanks for other people. You're part of the all y'all. You're part of the you-ins, the yous guys. So Pastor Brian, why should I be thankful for other believers? End of verse 4. For the grace of God was given to you. They have been given the grace of God. They've been given grace. Grace. John MacArthur says, grace is an undeserved and unrepayable kindness or mercy given by God to sinners. It is super magnanimous or super generous giving. It is totally undeserved and unmerited. It need not, in fact, it cannot be repaid. God's grace is free and unearned. When you look around this sanctuary and you meet people that aren't here this morning and they are part of our body of believers, you can be thankful that God chose to give them grace. Not by accident, not by mistake, but intentionally chose to give them grace. Call them to be part of his family and part of our local body of believers for one simple reason. He loved them, just like he loves you. What's your level of thankfulness to God for the gift of grace in your life? Most of us would be honest and say, I'm thankful for it. Do you tell God that? How often do you tell God that? That one's easy, right? I talked about the fact last night, I spoke at a sweetheart banquet, and I used the line that when we look at our spouse, we want them to love us as much as we love us. Okay? The easy part, loving us is easy. Loving other people is hard. So what's the level of thankfulness that God gave the gift of grace to others in our fellowship, in our body of believers? Here at People's Baptist, not just some, not just a few, all of them. And if you're thankful, and you should be, how often do you express it? Grace is not the only reason to be thankful. Verse 5, that you were enriched in everything by him, by God, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. You can be thankful that you and they are rich. Not rich in the sense of, hey, I'd love to have some money. Can I borrow some? Okay. What did Paul say? Enriched in all speech and all knowledge. We don't have time to unpack all of what that entails this morning or what Paul is referring to. But he mentions these gifts on purpose. Number one, because in God's plan, they appear to be more evident, more common in Corinth than any other churches. And I say that because he talks about these gifts in 1 and 2 Corinthians almost as much as he does in every other letter he ever wrote. These spiritual gifts should have built up Corinth. They should have edified others, encouraged others, helped them grow. But as we'll see through our study, they cause divisions, they cause problems and disunity in the church. So not as only is Paul making a preparation saying, I kind of forewarned you up front, we're going to talk about this when we get farther in the letter, but he's also making a theological point. He says, you were enriched. Enriched is not an active verb like we saw earlier, it's a passive verb, meaning the Corinthians had nothing to do with it. They were being enriched with speech and knowledge because God did it, not because they did it. And then he's going to go on in chapter 4 and say this, for who makes you differ from another? This is a rhetorical question. The answer is God. And what do you have that you did not receive? Another rhetorical question. The answer is nothing. Now, if you did indeed receive it, meaning you got it, you didn't earn it, it was given to you, why do you boast as if you had not? They were building this up and saying, look what I did. Look how smart I am. I can speak. I have wisdom. I have knowledge. But it's all from God. What's the level of thankfulness to God for the spiritual gifts in your own life? How often do you express that to God? Or how often do you take them for granted? That's just who I am. I take credit for them. I boast about them. And what I accomplish, I take the credit rather than give glory to God. Now, what's the level of thankfulness for the person on your right or your person on your left, their spiritual gifts, or the person rows in front of you? The other believers, all of them here at People's Baptist, are you thankful or are you jealous? Do you want the gifts that God gave to someone else and think, why didn't I get them? Why can't I do that? Why didn't God bless me with that? You gave them to them, God, but not me. That's not fair. What's your level of thankfulness for the gifts of other believers? Be thankful for the gift of grace in others' lives, the gifts, the spiritual gifts in others' lives. And verse 6, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. We were just there, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. What's the testimony of Christ? It's just another way of saying salvation, the gospel, the good news. So you can be thankful that the gospel has been or was confirmed in them. The gospel was confirmed in them. Confirmed. They didn't just hear the gospel. They didn't just get it taught to them. They didn't just say a prayer, walk an aisle, say, I'm a Christian, I got saved. I accepted Jesus into my heart. It's not just a statement. There was confirmation. Pastor Brian, what do you mean confirmation? This is not a Catholic thing. We're not being confirmed, nothing like that. What do you mean? What does it look like? There is evidence that what you say actually happened. There's a heart change that has seen because there's a life change seen. We've already seen this verse. It is expected. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things, old desires, old attitudes, old words, actions, thoughts, motivations, they've been replaced. Is there evidence? Is there confirmation of that? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said this, you will know them by their fruits. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. The claim to be a Christian, to have been saved, to be a follower of Jesus Christ or a disciple, without confirmation, without a change in attitude and actions being observed, being seen, and without even a desire to want to change, to live like that new creation you are, is a false claim. It's a lie. Claiming to be a Christian without evidence of a life change is equivalent to saying someone is an honest thief. Claiming to be a Christian without evidence of a life change is equivalent to saying someone is an honest thief. Why is that? Because as Jacqueline Crowe said in her book, the gospel changes who we are. It literally changes everything. It literally changes everything. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but there is, people can say you were. Paul uses that description in 1 Corinthians 5. You were, but you are. Yes, I was that, but now I am this, and there's evidence in my life. What's the level of thankfulness in your life for the confirmation of the gospel? Is there confirmation of the gospel in your life, first of all? That's a huge question. Now, what's the level of thankfulness for confirmation of other believers, all the believers here? Is there confirmation in their life? And are you thankful for it? Be thankful for the gift of grace, the spiritual gifts of others, confirmation of the gospel. And the church lacks nothing. The church lacks nothing. Verse 7. So you have come short in no gift, but eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end. The church lacks nothing. Because of the believers that God had called in Corinth and put together as a body, he intentionally and purposely brought them together, intentionally and purposely gave them different gifts so that they fit together and work together. The church at Corinth is full. I had another picture in here of water overflowing, and if you guys know me, I left my wife with very little gas in the tank, so this is my public apology to her. I said I was sorry earlier privately, but the church is full. It lacks nothing. They have every gift, every skill, every ability, and every person they need. They can fulfill their mission. They can do ministry, serve, and reach their community, and spread the gospel. Is that your perspective about us? Is that your perspective about People's Baptist Church, that right at this moment we are full? God has given us everything, everyone, every gift, every ability, every person he knows we need to reach our community, to spread the gospel, and to do ministry. Or do you look at us and say, there's something missing, there's something we don't have. I believe that we're not full right now, that we lack something or someone. God hasn't given us everything we need. Do you look at other churches and say, they have fill in the blank and we need it? He hasn't given it to us, but he's given it to them, and that's what we need. If we had that, then we'd be full. What's your level of thankfulness to God for what he has graciously given and blessed us right now? Are you wanting something else that we don't have or think we need? Something God hasn't given us. If we need it, God will give it to us. He'll give it to us at the right time. Are you thankful for what we have right now, everything that God has given us as a church? Who should I be thankful to? God. Who should I be thankful for? Other believers, all of them. When should I be thankful? Always. Why should I be thankful? Because of all God has given by his grace to individuals in our church, in our church as a whole. Last question, number 5. How? How can I be thankful for all these things you've told me this morning, Pastor Brian, that Paul's thankful for? Verse number 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This verse actually connects directly back to verse 4, where Paul starts out and says, I thank my God. And the rest of it is kind of underneath that, and then this verse connects directly back. How is this possible? How can I be thankful to God? How can I be thankful for others? What's my motivation? Because God is faithful. Paul emphasizes this in 3 key ways. First, Paul actually puts the word faithful, which is not normal grammar, but acceptable grammar in Greek, first. So he says, faithful. He makes an emphatic statement, basically saying, faithful is God. Now, that's not proper English necessarily, but it is okay in Greek. Second, when he does this, it creates a relationship grammatically in Greek that emphasizes this. Faithful equals God. Faithful is God. Faithful equals God. This is 2 of 3 reasons we can be thankful for others. And the third is, look how many times God is referenced by Paul in this text. Go back to verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can be thankful for others because God is completely faithful, trustworthy, and reliable. He's given them what they need. He has brought them into this local body of believers as part of his plan, and he is faithful to fulfill what he's doing. He knows what he's doing in our lives, in our church's lives, and in the lives of others. He is sovereign. He is in control. He has given us all we need right now, and he will give us all we need tomorrow and the next day and the next year. He will keep his promises completely because faithful is God. Faithful equals God. What's your level of thankfulness to God for his faithfulness? His complete and total faithfulness to you and to other believers and to our church. Because of God's faithfulness, what is your level of thankfulness for other believers here at People's Baptist Church? Faithful is God. Faithful equals God. Five questions about being thankful for others this morning. Who should I be thankful to? God. What's your level of thankfulness that God created things? He holds it together and he gives you breath and he gives you life. How often do you express it to him? Who should I be thankful to? God for or about? You. All y'all. Youans, yous guys. Everybody who's a believer here in our local body of believers. We should be thankful for them. What's your level of thankfulness for others in general, but also specifically for the believers here at People's Baptist Church? It is impossible to pray for someone and not become more thankful for them. So if you're not thankful, start praying for someone. Because the most important thing prayer changes is you and me. When should I be thankful for other believers? Always. When God brings them to mind, I should pray for their needs, but I should express my thanks. I should be always giving thanks to them when God brings them to my mind. Why should I be thankful? The other believers in this body have been given the same grace you have. They are rich. They have everything they need. We should be thankful that God blessed them with that. The gospel has been confirmed in them. You can see evidence in their life. Because of all of this, we are not missing anything right at this moment. We have everything we need, and they are part of that. And how faithful is God, and faithful equals God. That's the motivation behind all of this. Living like who you are. Are you going to choose to be a doer of God's word and live like who you are in reference to being thankful to those around you, other believers? Or are you just going to hear what God said and move on with your life and do what you've regularly been doing? Are you going to seek to grow in your thankfulness in general and specifically for other believers here at People's Baptist Church? Are you going to give evidence in your life and of the confirmation of the gospel? Or are you just going to hear it and continue on the way you are in reference to how thankful you are or aren't for other believers? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for it's a very difficult challenge. Lord, we are selfish. We don't often live like who we are in general, but it's very hard when it comes to other people. Lord, for those you have spoken to this morning, may they be willing to submit. May they be willing to respond and begin by praying and asking for your help and then praying and giving thanks for other believers around them, especially the ones that are challenging for them to get along with or challenging for them to be thankful for. Lord, I ask that this would be a moment when the confirmation of the gospel would show up in many lives, that their response to your word this morning would be the fact that people notice the change of how they are thankful for those around them and how they speak and talk and treat others around them, not just in the community, although that's very important, but in our body and how we live together, and how we care about each other. Or if there's those that are struggling with that or have questions, give them the courage to speak to someone and ask them to help or hold them accountable. If there are any that are wrestling with the fact that there's no confirmation of the gospel in their life, that you would not leave them alone till they are sure of where they stand in relationship to you. We thank you for the time in your word. We ask that we would have been not only hearers, but we will also commit to being doers in response to what you have shown and spoken to us individually and as a church about this morning. We thank you for this, and we thank you for the grace that you've given to us through your Son. We ask all of this in his name. Amen.